The fundamental doctrine of forgiveness of sin and acceptance with God, called justification by faith, is carefully laid down by the Apostle Paul at the beginning of his epistle to the Romans. In this letter, Paul systematically sets out God's plan of salvation. He first establishes the fact of the universality of sin. The entire human race is contaminated by it, and therefore is guilty before God. Jew and Gentile alike, he writes, are all under the power of sin. Therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight. The unsaved man, without God's grace, is lost. He cannot claim personal merit or good works to earn salvation, because sin is present in every part of him, affecting to a greater or lesser degree his mind, speech, actions, emotions, motivations, and will. No one, however law-abiding he may be, is perfect and without reproach in God's sight. This situation, from which there is no escape, ends in eternal loss for man, unless the Lord intervenes. Paul then describes God's remedy that is freely offered to all mankind and is made available through faith. In Christ Jesus, God found a way of punishing sin without destroying the sinner. On the cross, Christ offered himself as a final and perfect sacrifice for sin. Taking man's place under God's judgment, he bore our sin and died. As sin has been punished, God's justice is satisfied. So Christ's own righteousness can then be put to the account of every believer. All who trust in the atoning sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus are declared righteous, not on the grounds of any personal merit, but entirely through God's grace and mercy. A divine transaction has taken place. The believer's sin was punished at the cross, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to him. But this can only take place through a living faith which is produced in man by God's Spirit. The free gift of justification by faith is the all-sufficient basis for acceptance with God, for both Jew and Gentile, so that no man can boast in his presence. This was the case long before the law was given through Moses. As far back as Abraham, the principle of righteousness that comes through faith was established by God in his dealings with men. God justified Abraham because he believed in the divine promises. Abraham believed God, writes Paul, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Because of his faith, he became the friend of God, the father of many nations, and the forefather of all believers, who are his spiritual descendants. Abraham was justified not by religious rites or legal observance, but simply because he believed God's promise. This happened before he was given the sign of circumcision, and long before God gave the law through Moses at Sinai. God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. Now Abraham's wife Sarah was barren, and she was already well advanced in years. The patriarch himself was nearly 100 years old. Yet he believed the word of the Lord, being fully persuaded, says Paul, that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was accounted to him as righteousness. Because Abraham believed, he was accepted as righteous by God, and all the divine promises were accomplished through him, as God had said. The Lord deals with his people in the same way today through his Son, Jesus Christ. Those who put their faith in Christ and accept him as their substitute, that is, as the one who was punished on the cross for their sins, are declared righteous by God. They stand fully acquitted in Christ Jesus and are accepted by the Father. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, says Paul, and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we are now reconciled to the Father. From being God's enemy, the sinner who repents and believes becomes his friend. While we were still sinners, says Paul, Christ died for us, because Christ died for the ungodly. If then God demonstrated his love for us while we were still far away from him, indifferent and disobedient, how much more will he not love and save us from the wrath to come, now that we have been brought near, and have peace with him. If we have been saved by the death of God's Son, how much more shall we be blessed and kept by his life? This hope we have, says Paul, will not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Next episode, Christ and Adam.